Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Social media strategist Scott Kleinberg. How you doing, Scott?
Doing well, Bob. How are you?
Young and loose and full of juice today. And ready to talk about Election Day, 6 weeks away, social media platforms working overtime. And I see here that you have an interesting update on something we talked about a few weeks ago, and that's Snapchat and what they're doing related to the election. Tell us about that.
Yeah, sure. So last month, Snapchat launched new tools to encourage its users to vote. There were things like prompts for voter registration, voting guides to help acclimate first-time voters, and a new report shows that all of that was a success. There's more than 407,000 people registered to vote on Snapchat already, and they're still planning to release more notifications, more reminders, and a few surprises over the next few weeks.
So they have some big pushes planned?
Yeah, they really do. In fact, President Obama is going to be featured. He actually, the new PSA launched just recently, so that's to encourage first-time and young voters, you know, via the app. There's going to be other celebrity appearances. I think Arnold Schwarzenegger is part of that, and Snoop Dogg. So hopefully there are other people that can move the needle. I was surprised to learn that Arnold Schwarzenegger was popular among today's youth, but apparently he is.
Yes, and some people don't know a lot about Snapchat, don't use it, but it could actually be a deciding factor, couldn't it?
Yeah, it really could. In 2018, Snapchat made a similar push. They were trying to encourage voting in the midterm elections. Nearly 450,000 people registered to vote back then, and that was an off year, so we probably didn't hear as much about that. But the number that really matters is 57% of them actually went on to cast their ballot in the election. So that translates into more than 250,000 votes cast as a direct push of the Snapchat app. So if you think of it like this, Snapchat says, yeah, they really want to move the needle for the young vote. And, you know, you'd have to be a time traveler to know, obviously, what the outcome is going to be. There's a lot of states where, you know, pollsters are saying this is going to be a really close race. And could a Snapchat-sized young audience be the deciding factor in a state that could go either way? I think, yeah, absolutely. Hmm. But the overall goal is to make sure that young people know it's important. And here's the key, I think, it's cool to vote.
Interesting. All right, let's talk about Twitter. They're launching an election hub, aren't they?
Yep. Twitter says it's determined that it has been, you know, for months now to empower people to register people to vote, to understand the voting process, especially as it relates to COVID-19, as well as early voting, mail-in ballots. They cited this stat that really stuck with me, and that's this. While 9 in 10 daily Twitter users say they plan to vote in the upcoming elections, over half say they still could use more information about their candidates, about their ballot, and how to actually go about voting in 2020.
So this is available now?
Yeah. And in fact, I just checked a few seconds ago to make sure everything's there and everything's working. If you click on the magnifying glass search, I do all my stuff on a mobile app, so do this on your iPhone or whatever you have. If you click on the magnifying glass to search, you'll find it at the very top, and it's called U.S. Elections. And inside of it, you'll find a bunch of key components, and there's things like news in English and Spanish, and it's all from reputable news outlets, or Twitter's curation team. They have an editorial team that actually works as a newsroom to put this stuff together. So either the reputable news outlets or them. Live streams of major election events, so whenever debates are on, you'll find them live streamed there. A tool that shows you the candidates in your area for U.S. House, U.S. Senate, governor, and it tells exactly when all these different elections will take place in your state, and local news and resources by state. So that means when you log in from Illinois or when you log in from California, wherever you are, it shows you the information based on your location.
That sounds good. Twitter is proactively trying to secure accounts related to the election. Talk about what this involves, Scott.
Yeah, sure. So they announced that they're going to call on all candidates in the race to review their account security settings in order to maximize protection and reduce potential misinformation and hacking. That's a big problem, as we've seen hacking efforts during the campaign.
Is this a response to that big summertime hack that we saw?
I think so. And, you know, as we've talked about, you can never go wrong making sure your password is secure. But for this safety exercise, Twitter is targeting high-profile election-related accounts in the U.S. So these are the big guys. And they're going to be informed via an in-app notification from Twitter of some sort of initial account security measures that they're either going to require or strongly recommend going forward.
Talking social media with Scott Kleinberg. And, Scott, we were talking about Twitter security and action they might or might not take.
Yeah. Twitter is really trying to avoid specifics, as I guess you can imagine, but it says that all election-related accounts are going to be asked to reassess their passwords. So it's basically up to Twitter's system to determine if the current one is weak, and if it is, it'll enable what they call password reset protection. So it's a setting, and it automatically pops up, and it prevents unauthorized password changes. So it requires the account to confirm its email address, confirm its phone numbers, or, depending on how serious it is, to actually initiate a password reset before they can log in again. And they'll be asked to switch on two-factor authentication, which everybody should have anyway. That's an extra layer of security. That's the thing where you get a text that says, you know, please enter this code before you log in. I think everybody should have that, no matter who you are.
Yeah, my phone keeps asking me to do that two-factor authentication, and I haven't done that yet. I guess I should, huh?
Listen to your phone and listen to me. Yes, absolutely.
So as far as Twitter goes, who are they specifically including in all this?
Well, they say that it's going to be users in the executive branch in Congress. So this is a pretty wide thing. Governors, secretaries of state, people working in presidential campaigns, political parties, and candidates running for U.S. House, for Senate, for governor. They're also targeting major U.S. news outlets and political journalists.
And all makes sense, but I guess you can't really make the president change his password, right?
I mean, I guess not, but, you know, according to how this tool from Twitter works, if the password is too weak, you know, it's supposed to prevent you from being able to log in until you make this change. However, I would not want to be the Twitter employee that tells Trump that he can't log in, because I don't think he'd react well. But Twitter has the power to make that happen.
You know, there was much made of Barack Obama, and he loved his BlackBerry, and then they had to change things because of security. And you always saw in pictures, you saw President Obama on the phone, you know, and you always see the presidential tweets here from Donald Trump, but you never really see him holding a phone. So do we know, does he dictate those tweets to somebody else? Is that how it works, or do we know?
You know, there's that's an ongoing question. I think it's a combination. I think in some cases, I think he's dictating it. And I think in other situations, I think he's really sitting there, you know, on his couch or whatever he has. And I think he's actually tweeting. What's really interesting is that some Twitter programs will tell you what the tweet is from. So in some cases, it'll say from my Samsung Galaxy phone, from my Apple iPhone, whatever the case may be. And there have been many reports in the past where his tweets would say, said from my iPhone. So it's clear he has an iPhone. It's just, you know, the specifics of it are not exactly known.
And before we let you go, Scott, I talked about this the other day. Somehow my phone was updating, and I don't know why or how. And I'm normally frightened of the updates. I don't do them. I know I should. But I hear people complaining every time they get an update. Are you supposed to have your phone set on automatic update?
Well, the question of whether you're supposed to is really a personal one. To me, yes, the answer is you should have your phone set to auto update, because that way you make sure that you don't miss anything that's really, really important. After a certain period of time, if you don't update it, your phone's going to start bombarding you with messages and start getting really annoying and say, Bob, it's time to update me, you know, let's go. But I think it's important simply because those updates are not just what you see and what you use. They're security things that are happening under the hood, things that you don't even really give a second thought to in terms of what's safe and what's not. So to me, it makes sense to update your phone because they include those software updates just alongside all the emojis they add. They add all these important software and security updates too.
Yeah, and you know what? I was having trouble with a bank app of mine, and then I found out that I was having trouble because I didn't update my phone. And once I updated, I didn't have trouble with that app anymore with the bank.
Well, that's a double thing. That could be either a security issue, which it probably is, but it can also be as programs get older and software gets older, they stop developing for those old updates because people are updating to the new stuff. So after a while, you eventually get left behind. So at the end of the day, it's probably just better to have a stress-free life to update your phone.
Good advice, as always, from Scott Kleinberg. Thanks, Scott. Talk to you next week. Have a good day.
You too, Bob. Take care.